How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organize 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organize 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized. This week on the Wednesday podcast, we have another Canadian. Eva is joining us. Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast, Eva.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited for our conversation. I think we have a lot of commonalities in our history and what we're going to share with people. It'll be a different kind of conversation, and I think it's going to resonate with a lot of women.
I hope so.
So let's start with, how did you first find me? How did you find Organize 365?
Well, I was just like my ventures for diets. I was always looking for something new. I had a bookshelf full of organizing books. And I was just getting into podcasts, and so I searched for organizing, and I found your podcast, and so I started listening to it, and I thought, oh, this sounds great.
How long ago was that, do you think?
I would say it was about 3 years ago.
Okay, so 3 years ago. And can you tell us who lives with you and your family?
I live with my husband, and I've got three sons still at home. My youngest is 13, and my oldest is 18, going on 19 this summer. And I have a daughter who moved out recently. And also, I have my in-laws living in my basement suite.
Okay, and I will just say, we are recording this May 12th of 2020. So are you still social distancing and confined to home with the pandemic where
yes.
you are?
Okay. Yes, we are. We in British Columbia, it sounds like they're starting to loosen up some of the restrictions. A few private businesses have started to open up, but they are phasing things. So all of the businesses have protocols that they have to adhere to.
Yeah. So by the time you listen to this, it will for sure be June or sometime in the summer. And who knows what the reality of the pandemic will be at that time, but as of this recording, it is May 12th of 2020. So if we say anything pandemic related, it is related to that time frame in history. I feel like everything needs to be dated now. Back in April, every day felt like a year.
Yeah.
So many things would change so fast. So hopefully things are only going to change for the better from here on out. I choose to be optimistic until told otherwise.
Exactly.
So 3 years ago, you started listening to the podcast. Why was it you were deciding to get organized? What had you Googling organizing in podcasts?
I think the biggest thing was I really just felt weighed down by the clutter. I would look around. One time I was sitting with my husband, and I was looking at stuff, and I felt really overwhelmed looking at the stuff. And I said to him, I said, what do you see on that coffee table? And he's like, oh, I see a candle, and I see some papers, and I said, you want to know what I see? I said, I see some candles that I don't like the smell of, and I don't like them, but they're too good to throw away. And I see some papers that I have to go through, and each paper I have to look at, and I have to make a decision. And I see this, and I see that. And the thing was, everything just would go in my mind like a treadmill, like I have so much to do, and I would be so overwhelmed I just did nothing because I didn't know where to start, and it just all seemed so daunting.
I can feel how you're feeling, because I remember feeling the same way. Like on occasion I will still get to this point as well with work, and I'll be like, but if I work 14 hour days and I work all 7 days this week, I'm still not going to get it done. And it's never like, so where do I even start? Because I know I can't do it all. And you know, you get that feeling, and what you have to do is walk away and go take a walk or go take a bath or clear your head, because it's the only way you can come back and see that in a rational way. But you don't feel like you have enough time to get up and go to the bathroom because there's not enough time to get everything done.
Yep.
Right? Yeah, it's
right.
Totally. So, and it's just such a panic-inducing feeling.
Yes, definitely. I'd feel like I'm choking And I would get a pit in my stomach, just that anxious feeling in my stomach where I don't know what to do with this feeling. I want to do something, but I'm paralyzed. I can't do anything.
Yes.
And it's just, it's tough. You know, a lot of times I could talk myself through it and just do a little something, just do a little something, you know, and you know, usually I'd go back to sort of the easy things like washing my dishes,
Yep.
just get that
Yep.
done. Or, you know, or sometimes I would just rather go to sleep and just forget about it.
I've done that too. There was a period of time, multiple times in my life, but there have been periods of time where I wake up and I'm immediately exhausted 1 hour in. And I finally realized my second year in business, I was this way often. By 10 o'clock, I needed a nap. And then I took a nap at 2. And I was constantly taking naps. And I realized what was happening was when I would get too overwhelmed, I would just be so tired, I had to go take a nap. And it was the way my body would get me to give it a minute to reboot and reprocess, and then I could wake up and I could get going. And I started to realize, oh, I'm getting tired. That means what I'm doing, I don't want to do, or I don't know how to do. And just even the realization that I don't want to do it, or I don't know how to do it, then I started to give myself naps half the time. And half of the time, I would say, no, you know what you want to do. You just don't want to do it. So you're going to have to do it, and you can take the nap after. And then I would do it, and I wouldn't be tired when I was done. And my physical exhaustion, it was real exhaustion, was coming from the fact that I didn't know or I didn't want to do what was next on my list.
Right. Yeah, I can relate to having all of these things to do, but a lot of times the jobs were just too big. And so I guess maybe like I felt like if I pull everything out, I know I'm not going to have time before I'm interrupted to kind of get back to it. And it's like I need a month to do this and
Right.
I don't have a month today. So it just wouldn't get done.
Yeah. So this is how you're feeling. You start listening to the podcast. What happened next?
I tried to do a lot of it myself, just kind of thinking about all of the things you talked about, and I'd be listening. I'm like, yeah. And then by the time I finished shoveling the driveway because I was listening to it while I was doing that, you know, a lot of the stuff I retained, but a lot of the stuff I didn't. And I would think, if only I could just like write this down. And there were a couple of times that I even tried to sort of transcribe a podcast, like to kind of get the main points so I could organize myself to do something. But you know, I'm like, I'm spending all this time transcribing this. And you know, like it, you know, it was just like the gerbil in the wheel going round and round. And so I think I really did make a lot of progress on my own. And, you know, I did go, like, while I was listening to you, I did go to some free sites. I did go back to the organizing books that I had. But I'd sort of get so far and then I would drop off.
So your mindset was being changed, and you were getting much more
Absolutely.
organizing knowledge, and you were getting some physical organizing success, but you weren't getting the quantity or quality that you desired from just
Right.
listening to the podcasts and going back to your old organizing books.
Right.
Okay. So
And
when
I
was
was,
this?
oh, go
Yeah,
ahead.
no, go ahead.
I was just saying, and I was also feeling a little bit upset that I have no help. I've got a family of six of us, and trying to mobilize anybody to assist me was really like it seemed futile. And I felt somehow, I don't know. Guilty isn't really the word, but I felt like I was somehow imposing on other people to solve this problem. And while I felt like, well, this is a family home, everybody should be contributing, I still somehow felt the burden of responsibility on me alone.
I so remember exactly feeling the same way because you and I talked a little bit before we started pushing record. I mean, I remember feeling that way in the beginning of starting Organize 365 and other times in my parenting where I chose, like I have always worked, but my primary choice has been to have children and be a mom and be a stay-at-home mom. Like that's what I loved. I love it. And I have loved every bit of it. But at the same time, when you do the majority of the housework and the parenting and all of those things and the driving, especially as your kids start to hit that middle school, high school age, you're like, okay, I wanted to do this. And I love that I'm doing this for my children. And this is a choice that I made, but almost like, can I have an and? Like, I want to do all this and I would also like to exercise some of my other skills and abilities independent of this job that I've chosen that is really for me and what I'm uniquely created to do in the world. Like, I am uniquely created to be Joey and Abby's mom, but I'm also uniquely created to start and run Organize 365. And I could do both and doesn't have to be either or. And for me, that was a huge revelation because when I was 18, I thought it was either or. And now that I'm in my late 40s, I realize it's and. It can be and. And then once I started going after that and, wanting to do Organize 365 in my 40s, I felt like other people thought I was saying no to being a stay-at-home mom. And I wasn't saying no to being a stay-at-home mom. I was saying they're middle school and high school age for crying out loud. I know we didn't learn how to do laundry until we were over 18, but eventually somebody is going to do laundry other than me. And I started to get to this point where I was like, I picked this as my full-time job. I totally picked it. I also thought somewhere along the line, it was going to get a little bit of help or we were going to outgrow some of the need of the stay-at-home part of the mom. And I think it's kind of natural to get to that frustration level. Because when you get to that frustration level, I stopped doing some of the things I was already doing to allow the space for them to take it over. And there was a period of time where I did hire it out for other people to do it that wasn't me. And then the kids took it off as their adulthood. And I think this transition from being a stay-at-home mom of little kids to a stay-at-home mom of adult children, there is a wrestling that happens in the middle, both in your roles and responsibilities as a parent, but also an awakening to what you want to do with your, for crying out loud, I'm only 48. I'm going to live to be over 100. I've got 52 more years. Like, there's only so much laundry you can do, people. Like, there's more that I want to do other than laundry.
Yeah. And a couple of years back, I ventured out into doing some theater. Mm. And I loved it. And I'm not getting paid for it, but it's something that really recharges my battery. And it was sort of a social life that was involved with that. And it was good, I think, for the family in the sense that they sometimes had to take care of dinner on their own, or they sometimes had to, put themselves to bed and get some of those things done. So it helped everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're learning from the podcast. You're starting to implement some of this organizing that you're hearing. You're also starting to explore some of the things you want to do in addition to being the primary parent at home during the day. What's the first time when you noticed something was organized that wasn't organized before?
Well, one of the big jobs I tackled, I think it was sort of that same summer following that winter, was my paper. Mm-hmm. So I have my dining room, and I'd say that the wall space was about 10 feet. I pulled out all of the paper around the house. I pulled out all my binders. I pulled out all the boxes. I pulled out all my files, and I stacked it end to end, and there was three rows of this paper. So it was like 30 feet of paper. It was like my university schoolwork. It was my kids' drawings and homeschool ever since they were preschool. Anything they had touched, I was a saver. And, I come by it honestly. My mom was very sentimental that way. We had a large home when I grew up. And so there was room for storage of this stuff. And so I always had a hard time getting rid of those. And I thought, well, I might want to put this in a scrapbook. And all the ticket stubs for performances and Disney World and this and this and this. And then I got into scrapbooking for a little while. But that hobby, just, I didn't have time for it. But I kept saving everything. So I did make a lot of progress. Also, I'm a musician too, so I have lots of music, sheet music, and it was really difficult to go through that. But I gave myself the whole summer to do that paper. I didn't make it through the whole summer, but I did get through. I would say I shred and got rid of about a third of it. And I thought that was real progress. So I continually keep refining it, and I'm still working on that right now.
What has happened as you've been getting organized? What has happened in your journey that you did not expect to happen?
Time was always an issue. I always felt like there was never nothing for me to do. Like, again, I would hit the ground running. I get my coffee, and I'm busy, 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 washing, cleaning, picking up, whatever, doing school with the kids or sending to school, or there was always something for me, and I'm in constant motion from morning till night. And so as I've been getting organized, and I realize have things, a place for things, and things aren't overflowing with no place to go. I look around and I'm like, okay, I guess I don't really have any house-related things to do.
Isn't it
Which
weird?
I know it is weird,
So weird.
and so I'm really liking that because I'm like, okay, what can I do with my time? And so then I feel like I have time to actually explore some things.
It's still to this day when the house is all picked up, it's the end of the day. Like, I will go take my bath and do my puzzle no matter what. But when you walk through the house and there's nothing to do, and you're taking your bath and doing a puzzle, it's totally different, right? It's like there literally is nothing left to do. Like it's done. It is the most freeing and the most bizarre feeling you'll ever have because so few people, I think, ever get to that way.
Well, and I agree that, like the cleaning and that stuff gives you a purpose. It sort of justifies your existence when you're raising a family, and you feel like I'm important. People rely on me to do this. But then it's like it's done, and but I'm liking that. I mean, I know it's a little bit of a struggle for me right now because I don't know what I want to do with myself, like reinventing myself, but it's fun to engage in the process.
And it takes a while to engage in the process. It's not like as soon as you have free time, you're going to know exactly what you want to do with it. It's just like the amount of time you need to listen to the podcast and think about it and get started on your organizing. We need to, explore different courses and classes and mentors and coaches and podcasts and books and figure out what it is we want to do when we grow up. Right? In our next act. Did you experience any unexpected events as you were getting organized?
I did. And I would say that this would be a bit of a catalyst that really got me going on the full program. I guess it was a year and a half ago, like at Christmas time, my husband went on disability, and it really threw my world into a tizzy. It affected us financially. For that year, he was receiving some benefit, but we were sinking deeper and deeper into debt, and it was a very scary place for me to be. And I just started to feel like I needed to take responsibility for my own sense of security, just financially. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to do this program because the only way that I can maybe get back to work is if I can lighten my load at home. Because with all of the stress I felt, with all of the disarray and disorganization, I just needed to kind of be able to clear that in order to clear my mind, in order to clear my time and my calendar so that I could think about working.
And did it work? Like, did purchasing the Organize 365 program after you'd already been listening to the podcast, after you'd already been making the progress, in getting your home organized, did it give you that return that you were looking for?
Well, truth be told, I only purchased All Access last January. Mm-hmm. As a Canadian, I did hesitate. We have all of the exchange. We have extra fees at customs. So it hurts the pocketbook. I lived in North Carolina for a while. And when we moved back to Canada, I had sticker shock. Groceries were twice expensive, and gas was twice expensive. Car insurance was three times as more expensive. Plus, your taxes are way more because of the health care. And so, yeah, the cost of the program. So anyways, I had started working a little bit. So I had saved money, and and I decided, you know, I'm going to do this. And when I started it, you know, we started with the kitchen and the master bathroom and the bedroom. And I was like, you know, I've actually done these areas two or three times on my own with the help of the podcast. And so it was really easy to do those. But since I bought it, I was doing the program, the 15 minutes a day, but I had a special focus on my hot mess room, which was my garage. So for this first, from January till now, I had been working on my garage, and it made a huge difference. That was my first time through the garage, but I spent a lot of time, any spare time I had, on that garage. And everything is, I know where everything is. It's all in nice bins. And now next round, I hope to label it all and maybe
you're talking
tear
about
down some more.
The 28 days from hot mess to organized storage bonus.
Well, I didn't really follow. I didn't really follow that exactly, but I did the how to sort a box, and I just kind of went through box by box, and I would listen to the podcast. But in the meantime, I was also going along with the 100 days, and I think I made it up to the laundry room. So I'm starting at the laundry room this time.
Yeah, week 9. That's pretty good. Yeah. That's really good. So that's really, really good. And you'll get to the storage rooms and garages again in the 100-day program then as you keep going through.
Yeah.
And I like having that conversation because I know the program's not cheap. I mean, and we don't discount it. And we don't give an international discount. We're asked all the time. And the reason why I don't discount it is because, well, first of all, I have employees in a business. And so it is the business model. But also there is additional value you get. Even if you've been listening for free and done all the free programs, there is more that you get when you purchase the product. And I know it's an investment, but it's an investment in you as much as it is an investment in Organize 365.
Well, the way I'm looking at it, Lisa, is that you've been a great personal coach. And that's how I'm looking at it. I'm thinking, I know what a personal coach costs because I've been interested in it and I've checked it out. And I can't afford a personal coach, but I can afford your program. and you know, I have you in the podcast and, you know, I mean, you're on all the different social medias. Sometimes I think I don't have time to listen to all of you because I've got some organizing to do. That's kind of what I'm really getting out of it is personal coaching. And if I look at it that way, somebody who can talk to me, because I don't always like reading everything. Some of the free programs, I was reading them. It's like, there's so much here to read. I don't want to read all this. Like, I just start to glaze over, but I can listen and be in motion at the same time. And, you know, your voice is there cheering me on. And it's been great that way. And just having it laid out space by space kind of helps to keep me on task.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you have more of now?
I have more time to live my life proactively because, again, raising a family and homeschooling, and I just felt like for that 15, 20 years, life was reactive. I was always a very organized person in my single life. And then after I got married and had children, it was just a knee-jerk reaction to everything, putting out fires. Mom, okay. And then you shift gears and then you're in another room, you pick up something and then mom, you go there. And then as you're going there, you pick up a towel. And as you know, it's just like, you just kind of like motor through your life at the whim of everyone else and what everybody else needs. And I'm feeling like now I can take my time back, take my space back, and live more proactively to try to attain the things that I would like to attain.
Mm-hmm. It feels good, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It feels great.
More in control.
Yes.
Life is chaotic. I mean, we're in a pandemic right now. Like, there are a lot of things that we do not control. Right. But it feels good to be in control of your home. Like, inside of these four walls, even though things, you know, you wake up in the morning by 10 o'clock, it may have gone off the rails, you get to start again the next day, and you have a sense of control over what's happening inside of your house.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I have more time, and I guess that goes into what do I have less of?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. What do you have less of?
Well, I mean, I have less anxiety. And you know, on the flip side too, with the more time and living more proactively, I've had time to go out for walks because I'm making time to do it. I've had time to give myself a little nap or meditation time in the afternoon. I've had more. So that helps to manage anxiety. It helps mm-hmm. to manage my chaotic mind and just try to focus on the things that are most important to me right now.
You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about if for people who haven't done the program, it sounds like fake. It just sounds so like, how can you really get that much benefit from being, is it really home organization and moving from reactive to proactive? That's what gives you all of those things. It gives you time and reduced anxiety. And I mean, it seems like it should be harder than that. And I'm not saying it's not hard to get organized, but it seems like there should be more to it than just getting organized.
I feel like I've been on a long personal journey mm-hmm. and I've been reading, you know, some self-help books and trying to determine what I really want. Yeah. And being organized is really just a part of the picture, but mm-hmm. it's helping me to resolve some of my bigger issues, issues of feeling out of control with my life, issues of financial insecurity, issues of self-esteem. I mean, there's so much to unpack there. And mm-hmm. and issues of saying, you know, how can I get the things that I really want? How can I feel the things I want to feel about, you know, peace and love and security and mm-hmm. these kinds of things? And so organization to me really just helps to make me have those things, have more of those things. Mm-hmm. I've got a vision board in my room and, mm-hmm. you know, you've got these beautiful, peaceful bedrooms and nice ocean scenes and candles lit and everything. And who doesn't want to have some of those special times just to rest and, you know, look at nature and say, wow, I feel good in the world. I feel like, you know, at one with God or that kind of thing and feel like I matter.
You know, as you're talking about this, I think I'm realizing something. You know, earlier we both talked about how we, as women who have chosen to stay home with our kids, it was mom, come do this. And I've got a to-do list that I can never get done. And I'm trying to get everything done. And then once I'm organized, I can literally walk through this house. And like in a matter of an hour, I could have this house to where it's all organized. And then I can go take a bath or do whatever. I think what organization has done for me, and you could say if it's done this for you, is that in order for me to spend the time developing myself into the next iteration of what I want to be, I felt like I had to have my house in order
so that that to-do list could be checked off so that I had the permission, not only for myself, but also for my family and extended family and other people to invest the time in me. Whereas if, and I've done this before, I invest the time in me, but the house is falling apart around me, I am being judged on the value of what my house looks like and my family looks like. And so I'm being selfish because I'm taking time for me. Whereas now, if I take time for me, you know, what else do you want me to do? The house is already organized. You can't give me a to-do list because I did the to-do, I checked it off. And so either way, if I invest in myself and the furthering of my development and what I want to do in the next 50 years, I can do it either way. But this organizing first not only gives me the permission, but it gives me less anxiety to do it because there's no judgment for me and no judgment from anyone else.
Yes, I agree. And I think it's kind of sad that it has to be that way.
I'm watching my words really carefully, but I know I'm not the only person thinking this.
No, I know. And like I say, it maybe it's part and parcel of my generation or whatever, but you know, I really did feel like somehow I inherited this responsibility. Yep. And I even remember as a young girl, I would be at my grandmother's and she would be busy all day cooking for supper and yep. having everybody over. And, you know, my grandfather, he would be sitting in the living room entertaining and watching TV. And then we'd all have supper together. It was great. And then afterwards, all the men would retire to the living room and the women would go to the kitchen. And I, not my brothers, but I was summoned to the kitchen to help with the dishes. And I'm just like, why can't I sit in the living room and just watch TV? Mm-hmm. And so somehow I just, this is what I was modeled to me. And this is what I feel is, you know, my lot. And it used to bother me. I would be at church. I really wanted to go to the music ministry. And I had kids and my husband worked shift work and I couldn't rely on being able to be off every Wednesday night for rehearsal. Mm-hmm. And I had this one lady come up to me, honey, it's just not your season.
Yep.
And I was just like, yep. when is it going to be my season? Like, and yep. why can't it be my season now? You know, but I just felt like I didn't have the money or the means to get a babysitter every Wednesday night. And he had rotating shifts. So we never had all the same weekends. Sometimes he'd be off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Sometimes he'd be off Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So there was no Monday to Friday schedule that we could rely on. And it was, you know, I think I sacrificed a lot.
And I agree with this whole thing of seasons because I felt the same way. Like I am going to stay home and be a stay-at-home mom and the best stay-at-home mom for a season. And then mm-hmm. as these kids got to middle school and high school and they need you more than they do when they're little, which I did not know, but now they're off to college and you know, people will look at me and say like, oh, are you making dinner? No, I haven't done that for 5 years. I don't plan on doing it again. Is the house picked up? Yep, already picked up. I'm going to work. And I love working and I'm choosing it. I still get some guilt sometimes, but not as often. And I'm like, no, this is the season that I'm working.
Right.
I want to be working. But I feel more comfortable doing that, knowing that the house is organized, knowing that everything is in the Sunday basket or the homeschool basket or whatever it needs to be, yes. and compartmentalizing my time because my mom job will never be gone. My household job will never be gone, but I am carving out a lot of time for my next season of organized 365 job. And it was a fight. It was an internal fight for me more than anything else over the last 5 years of carving out more and more and more time for Organized 365 without apologizing and feeling guilty about it all the time.
Right. And that's kind of what I'm working with. I started out in the theater and I felt guilty for taking that mm-hmm. time mm-hmm. to do something I loved that really recharged me. But I'm finding that now it's been about 5 years, I've been involved every season and it's kind of opening doors where I'm looking at doing voiceover work and I'm looking Yay. At doing all kinds of different things. I've been doing administrative stuff. I've been doing some, a variety of different jobs, testing the water in things. I'm interested in real estate investing and, you know, there's a lot of things I'm interested in and I want to have the time to pursue those without the housework hanging mm-hmm. over my head. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I find my husband's been working for 30 years in the same job, going to a job every day, you know, for all of those years. And he looks forward to the day when he can retire. And I'm like, I'm looking forward to the day when I could start going to the office every day. And so, you know, I'm 48 and I'm like, well, then I start to think, oh gosh, if you retire at 65, like that's too soon. Like I want to be doing this a long time. And so I see people who work until they're 75 or 80. I'm like, all right, well, that might be enough years. And so as a lot of people my age even are already starting to do early retirement, I'm like, ew, yuck. Like, when do I get to go to the office and work for, like, I would love to do that for the next 30, 40 years. Like, I'm so excited about it. And I feel like I chose to stay home with the kids when everybody was having a career. And I'm like, yay, I'm ready for my next act. I'm ready for my next season. And everybody's like, this is the retirement season. I'm like, you people are retiring way too young. We're going to be really old. You need to work longer. Like, yeah. let's go do, it's like I'm doing the opposite of everybody again.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like I'm good to go till I'm 75.
Yeah.
You know, just looking at my parents, I mean, they had a lot of good health up
right.
until that time. And I think this is like my new 18.
I agree with you. I'm all in. I'm yeah. all in on the new 18 as well.
Well, and the reason I thought of that is that I had a 30-year reunion and, we were reminiscing and I had kids about 18 trying to think, what am I going to do with my life? And reflecting back at that time, I thought, I didn't think past 50.
No.
Like when I was 18, I thought I'm going to retire when I'm 55. So,
yeah.
And I'm thinking that's like a 30-year span. I've still got 30 good years. Right. So why not start a new career?
I have been thinking that a lot lately too. And I think a lot of people are thinking that way. So I'm right there with you.
I think that's part of the reality of today's economy and stuff too. I think a lot of people aren't prepared for retirement, and they realize that, you know, maybe I am going to have to work, and they know they're going to live longer. So
well,
that's okay too.
And also that we're in the information age now. So it's not like I'm going to go work on a farm for the next 30 years. That's number right. one. And we work flexibly now. I mean, I've already grown Organized 365 100% from being at my house, even though we have a warehouse. I haven't been working there. I've been working from home. And I now work, you know, 8:30 to 4:30 usually, or 8 to 4:30 are my usual hours. But I work evenings and weekends, and I'll take a whole Tuesday off to go be with the kids. Or like I flex my time a lot. So it's not like we're saying for the next 30 years, we're going to go work in a factory from 7 a.m. to 4.
Oh.
No, I mean, we're going to be flexible with how we work and where we work. And some weeks we'll work more than others. And I'm excited about where the future of work is going in the next 30 years.
Yeah, and there's so much to learn. I'm learning things as I go, technology. Sometimes mm-hmm. I feel like I've got a bit of a mental block with it, but I'm not incapable of learning it. And so I am taking the time and getting help when I need it. And I'm finding that, yeah, I can do this technology.
mm-hmm.
So I feel good about that too.
Awesome. Is there anything you wish that you had known sooner?
Well, one of the things that I really struggled with, and I would, like I say, I was always organized, but I had a very, very difficult time giving things away. Mm. I felt like one of the main problems with not being able to get organized was that I just had too much stuff. And I'd just move it around. I'd shuffle it around. I'd put it here. I'd put it there. And I'd think, well, until I can deal with it. And somehow dealing with it meant that I had to sort of have the perfect solution for where this thing would go. And there's such a heightened awareness of not taking things to the dump and not, you know, filling the landfill and recycling and you know, different charities that want it. And I thought, well, I didn't have a hard time giving it to somebody who I knew could use it. But I had a hard time throwing things away. And I also was really, I think, partly because of my family of origin, but also partly because of the crisis I was dealing with financial setback, my husband being on disability, I felt very fearful about money. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking, well, maybe I could sell, maybe I could have a garage sale. But the time it takes to take all the boxes, unload the boxes, load them up again after they don't sell. And there wasn't anything really good there. It was just all like knickknacks and scratched and broken things. And I'm like, I need to be able to give this away. And I listened to those podcasts that you had about, you know, is the garage sale worth it kind of thing? And is selling it worth it? And like, I wasn't earning any money at the time. And I thought, what if I need money? And so like, seriously, I struggled those even before I bought the podcast. That's another reason I didn't want to buy the podcast. I was concerned about money. And for me, $100 meant a lot. But I thought, I'm going to have to spend a whole weekend to maybe earn $200. So I did finally take kind of one box at a time. Like, sometimes I would have to tell my husband to take it away because I just couldn't. And mm-hmm. the first time I did it myself, it was really hard just to give it away for nothing. But I said, I have to do this. I have to do this. And the more I did it, the easier it became. And then I did start working. And then I did start earning some money. And I had more time to work. And I had less stuff in the house. And I started to realize that it's okay to give the stuff away. Like, the world isn't going to collapse, mm-hmm. you know? And so the time that it gave me to work paid me back more. And, but it was like a physical thing for me, hard to give it away. And, you know, I come from a family of thrift. And I realized I had a real poverty mentality. Mm. It was, you know, I'm trying to really turn that around and try to be more generous. Even in this pandemic, all the thrift stores were closed and we weren't able to donate. And so here in my neighborhood, they had a Facebook page, a neighborhood Facebook page. People would say, hey, has anybody got a kitchen garbage can? And I'm like, I have a kitchen garbage can. I just ordered a new one. So here, take it. Hey, has anybody got a rug? Has anybody got this? I'm like, yeah, they got sitting in my garage. It's ready to go to the dump. It needs to be clean. But if you want it, you can have it. And so people were coming and taking my stuff. And I was just like, great. I had a bunch of Christian like VCRs, like Story of the World and like mm-hmm. like nice animated Bible stories, and like only a certain group of people would want this, but they were VCRs and my church didn't want them because they said everything's digital now, right? I put it on my Facebook group and there was a family homeschooling Christians and they had a VCR and they wanted them. Their kids were so bored and she's like, my kids are going to be so happy to have these. I'm like, please, I'm so happy. Your kids will be happy. You know, and it was just like, oh, I felt so good about it because I also had an attachment to those videos because my right. kids grew up watching VeggieTales and everything. Those. And I was just like, yeah. So anyways, it was,
you could even see, oh, people aren't watching, but just even if you listen, the way you started that conversation about how hard it was and you ended all smiley as you were right. talking about freely giving things away. And as you were talking about that, I was thinking, oh, you know what the shift is that's happening? It's not about getting comfortable with giving your stuff away. It's the shift in valuing your time more than you value the monetary value of a physical object.
Yeah.
So valuing time over physical objects that are worth money, your time is worth money. Yeah. And that gets down to valuing you, that you are worth, your time is worth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways, like I say, it's been a personal journey and I've grown a lot in that area and it really feels good to have gotten past that because it was a real stumbling block for me. So like I say, a lot of the podcasts that you talked about, the time and money, and also there were some other perspectives that you had on being able to give things away that really spoke to me and challenged me, really.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
What's your next step? What's the next thing that you're going to be working on?
Well, so I've almost got a couple of parallel lines. I do have a little bit of extra time, and I'm making the time to work on the 100 days. And then I also have a focus. So right now, my other focus is parallel to the 100 days, is getting my digital photos dated and labeled.
Wow.
Right. So, but a story is starting to emerge. It's really great. Like looking at those, mm-hmm. I feel bad because all these years my kids would say, well, can I see some baby pictures of me? And I'm like, no, you can't touch the photos. What if they get deleted? And I didn't know where to find them. Like they would ask for them and I didn't know where to find them because they were all on little separate discs and SD cards. And so I finally put them all in one holding area.
Wow.
And now I'm starting like in an external hard drive. So now I'm starting to like just date them and put a meaningful label on that I can do searches either by child or by occasion or activity or a family adventure. I'm kind of coding it so that when I do a search, I can pull up all the adventures or everything with my daughter or everything with this particular son. And I see the stories unfolding in date order. And that's really cool. I've gotten rid of a lot of duplicates, but I'm just kind of chipping away at it in the evening when my husband's watching the news. I sit at the computer and I just chip away, you know, find the little groups, date them, label them. But I've made a lot of progress. And
that's a big job.
I'm doing job. Something instead of nothing.
Yeah. Photos are PhD level organization.
Right. Yeah. So, but it feels good to have a plan. Mm-hmm. Feels good to have a space. And all of this time I've just been ruminating about it. Like how to, you know, what should I do? Yeah. So a lot of it is just in the mind and letting the stuff kind of sink in. And I've decided I will do a physical baby album for their first year. I've got two of them done. I've got two more to do. And the rest of them, I'm just going to, once I have them sorted and I can do a search, I'll just give them a thumb drive, something that each of them can have and they can go through it how they want to.
They will love those baby albums.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially as they start to have their kids in the future years.
Yes.
To look back on those, it's fun to do and fun for you to look back on and do and think about their first year.
And I had a friend doing creative memories when I was in North Carolina, and she helped me get started on it. So, like I say, I have done two of the albums. I've done the really nice job on them. So I'd like to do the other two as well.
And that's not too big of a project to just do two more albums.
No.
No, because you've already done two, so you have a model there.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to share with people before we close out? Anything else you would want to say to someone who's just getting started or?
I guess I would just say just start. Like it doesn't really matter what age or stage in life you are. Mm-hmm. Just start by doing something. And because I feel like the time goes by anyways and it goes by quickly. And like, I think of how fast 4 years can go by and 4 years can go by and I can do nothing, but you know, you could also get a degree in 4 years, right? So it's like, just do something, because even though maybe I didn't get organized in a year as promised, you know, like 100 days, do it 3 times, you'll be organized in a year. I think that's for somebody, you know, that'll happen. It's taken me a little longer. I've heard you talk about 3 years. I think it's been years, and I'm starting to feel like I'm finally getting a handle on it. But I'm just kind of doing it bit by bit, but at least this way I have a plan. So just do something, and then you realize that, oh, this is organized. Like my kitchen has been organized for a long time, and I love it. I like working there, you know. If you have to work in the kitchen, well, you know, you may as well enjoy the space. You know, I get a little tired of making suppers every night, but I know where everything is. It flows and I love it.
Eva, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been a pleasure talking with you and getting to know you better.
Yeah, likewise, Lisa. It's been great to speak with you and get to know you as well.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh, I could talk to you guys forever. And I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.